Good morning. Praise God. Good to be back. Last week was just miserable for me. Got up in the ice everywhere and just had to, because of all the bad conditions, had to stay home. Well, I didn't have to. I mean, I was over here, but I was afraid for anybody to get out and didn't want anybody to get hurt. A friend of mine, pastor friend of mine, went ahead and had church. He was going to be stubborn and go ahead and have church. They was going to have church. He ended up falling on the ice, busting himself up. Another guy injured his knee, and it didn't turn out real good. But ice is hard to function with. We're going to just be looking at the victory. The worship team, I never discuss with them what I'm going to be preaching on, and somehow they nail it every week. And so we're going to be talking about being overcomers today and what that actually means. How many really want to be an overcomer? Amen. I want to be an overcomer. There are a lot of things that are conquering people today, and we need to be overcomers. The devil is certainly on a rampage, and all of his minions are causing mayhem and madness all over, and the beast system is working to overthrow people's lives all over this world. But we know that we're overcomers because of Jesus Christ, and that's who our faith is in. Amen. Praise God. I have enjoyed knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and God as my Father for almost over 40 years now. And I try to get people to understand the greatness of having God in your life, and they just don't get it. And yet they struggle, they suffer. You know, you see all the things happening in their life that could be fixed and could help them, but they won't listen to you. They won't believe, you know. And because of that, and to me it's confusing because I've enjoyed this for over 40 years, and God's walked with me step by step, and through every tragedy, He's brought us out victorious. Through every problem, He's been the answer. Forever hurt, He's been the healer. Forever financial problem, He's been the answer. For every time that it seemed like the world or the enemy was going to overcome, He always resurrected us. And, you know, to try to communicate that is difficult at times because you have to be willing to listen and actually believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. And I've enjoyed the rewards of that. There's so many today that are just forfeiting all that. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. This new year has just seemingly been filled with a lot of tragedy, a lot of problems, a lot of things happening. But that's usually a good sign that things are changing, because there's always debris in front of a storm. When two fronts are colliding, there's always debris. There's always chaos. Until one front overcomes the other. Either the hot air or the cold air overwhelms the other one, and then there's calm. And so we're believing that God is going to overwhelm and bring victory in our lives. Amen. I can't talk about anybody else's. I can't say that God's going to deliver those that don't believe. I can't say that God's going to help those that won't worship Him. I can't say that this country's going to turn out good, because it all depends on what our will is. God will not overcome our will. Amen. But my will, I can speak for me. Amen. My will is that God overcome and that God succeeds in my life. And that's what we've got to have an attitude about. We can't look at everything else. We've got to look at our life and say, well, God, I believe in you, and I know you're with me. Amen. So we're gonna overcome. Amen. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 through 4, this is an Amplified Bible. It says, everyone who believes with a deep and abiding trust in the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, is born of God. That is, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for His purpose. I want to read that again. It's not just about having a connection or, you know, having your name on the roll of a church. It's about being transformed, being renewed, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for His purpose. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the children born of Him. By this we know without any doubt that we love the children of God, expressing that love when we love God and obey His commandments. For the true love of God is this, that we habitually keep His commandments and remain focused on His precepts. And His commandments and His precepts are not difficult to obey. For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world, our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. Continue. I like the way Amplified Bible states that. Our continuing, persistent faith in Christ. Amen. Knowing that He is the Son of God. Amen. He is the Christ, the Son of God. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that bought our victory and redeemed us from sin, redeemed us from oppression, redeemed us from evil, and so that we can be delivered and freed from evil. Amen. There is a God that hears and answers your prayers. Amen. In the days ahead, I'm going to be preaching on the verse that says, ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. A lot of us don't understand what that means. That's not just about saying, God, I need something. That is a process of our lives seeking after God. But we're going to be talking about that later because we've got to understand God is a prayer answering God. Amen. God takes care of His people. And even when we go through hard times and tragedies and things that's there all the time. Amen. I know Him very intimately and personally because every trial, every problem I've ever been through, He's been there. And He's been my closest friend. Praise God. What an awesome thing to have a close friend like that. Amen. When nobody else was around, He was around. When nobody else could help, He could help. When everything seemed to be going wrong, He's the one that brought it back together. And so the faith and the understanding that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We are inundated today with godless communist professors in our colleges, in our schools, that is trying to steal away the faith of God from people's hearts, and yet all the silly, ignorant people in this country has to do is go live in some of these countries for a while that believe that. It's one thing to be living under the covering of the blessing of America and say, I have the right, you know, to be a communist. I have a right to be a socialist. I have a right to not believe in God. It's another thing to go where that is prevalent and live there and find out what really happened. I've been there. And those people are trying to escape from it. Amen. It's only people that are blessed beyond measure that feel like they have the privilege to deny the one that is blessing them. Everybody else is busy searching and hungering and trying to find the help they need to overcome and overcome the oppression of these things. I really don't understand a lot of this stuff, and I'm going to try not to beat on this too much today, but I don't understand all the communist rhetoric that is going on in our colleges in our country today. When you look at how many millions and millions and millions of people have been killed by communism. Millions. Devastated and destroyed by communist doctrine. Amen. And yet, we got people embracing it and turning their back on the God that has blessed us. Amen. Praise God. You can't look at people. We've had people that has failed. And I don't know what, I'm going to shoot this rabbit here in a minute and quit chasing this rabbit. But we've had people that have failed, misrepresented, done wrong. But that doesn't say God is wrong. Amen. Praise God. We overcome the world. Now, by our persistent faith and our absolute commitment to God. Remember what love is? Love is obedience and commitment. When we love the world, it means we're obedient and committed to the world. When we love God, it means we're obedient and committed to God. You can't say I love God and refuse to keep His commandments, because that's the purest form of being able to prove that you love God or that you love somebody, is that you keep yourself and you obey certain rules. In order for me to prove to my wife or to anybody else that I love them, it takes certain actions from me. It takes commitment from me. I can't tell somebody I love them and then disregard them the rest of the time. Amen. Praise God. I show, you know, people that I love them. You know, I had a guy told me that made a statement the other day. He thought it was funny, but he was working overtime, and I said something about him. Man, you need to get home. And he said, "Oh man, this is the only thing that keeps me from having to go home." And anyway, I told him that wasn't a good attitude. I told him, I said, maybe you ought to go home and start loving your family like you're supposed to. And you'd enjoy coming home. I know that there's circumstances sometimes, but myself, I can't, you know, being away from Betty isn't something I enjoy. I don't look for ways to get away from her. Matter of fact, we look for ways to be together all the time. We're always, you know, she's always calling me and saying, "I'm in the area, can you have lunch?" You know, and all that. And we have lunch all the time. We go out on dates constantly. We've been married for 40-some years, and our life is one big date. You know? I don't understand. Thank you. You can thank Betty for most of that. She's the one that knows how to, this relationship stuff. She's better at it. But when you love God, you don't run from Him and feel obligated to go to church and say hi once a week. You love Him every day. Amen. Praise God. People tell me, people's always give me this thing, I don't have to go to church. I really don't understand that. I enjoy it. I love God. I love God's people. You know, I look forward to it. When I was rebuking the ice. They were the weathermen, the false prophets of this world were declaring we was going to have freezing rain again yesterday. And Friday, I started Friday saying, "No, you will not come. You'll move out of here." Why? Because I was miserable. I needed to see my people again. You know, we need to get back in church. I need to get together and worship. I worship all the time, but there's nothing like getting with the rest of you and just worshiping God. I mean, why would we want to miss that? Amen. Praise God. People need to get over themselves and just start loving each other again. Praise God. If I chase many more rabbits today, it's all good. The word overcome means to prevail. If you overcome something, it means you have prevailed over something. The word over used in the Bible means to rule or to lead or to superabound. I like that. Over means to superabound, to lead or to rule. Now, John here is talking about that fact that we have overcome the world. It means that we have come into a place of leadership and rule, superabounding. I like that. Amen. I like to have the feeling that I'm superabounding. How many likes to feel that way? I don't like to feel like I'm being run over. I've been run over. It isn't good. Amen. It's very oppressive. When they got that big trailer off of me, I was relieved. You know? I don't like to be overcome. To overcome. And the word come just simply means to arrive, that you have proceeded forward and you have arrived. So the word overcome means that you lead, you rule, you superabound, and you arrive that way. Praise God. You're going to understand this a little bit more here in just a minute. In verse 4, it says, whatever is born, which means created, proceeds from God, overcomes, superabounds, prevails over, and arrives victorious in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is not what you can do. This is something that you have to receive. You can't make it happen. You can't measure up. How many know you can't measure up to Jesus? Amen. You can't act like Jesus. You know, I've heard people say, well, you need to act like a Christian. You can't act like a Christian. You got to receive Christian. Amen. It has to be something that's imparted into you. It has to be something that comes out of something that is bigger than you are. Amen. There has to be something deposited inside of you that's greater than your humanity, because your humanity is not capable of doing it. Amen. Jesus is the only human being that has overcome. And so we are in Christ. We believe in Him. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, it says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You know, we've got to quit trying to be the vine, and we got to realize we are the branches. We are attached to the life-giving power and strength of God. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You know, we're not in charge of this thing. A friend of mine, Jim Finn, pastor for many years, he made 49 trips to Romania. He pastored upstate New York, had a tremendous church up there. But he traveled, in 25 years, he traveled to Romania preaching the gospel 49 times. That's a lot. And he was on a flight one time, and the plane started having trouble, looked like it was going to go down. And the guy next to him, they'd been talking and found out he was a preacher. And the guy next to him wasn't a believer, but he grabbed hold of his hand when things started going wrong. He grabbed hold of his hand and said, preacher, do something. He said, man, I'm just in sales. I'm not in administration. Sometimes you got to realize, hey, I'm not in charge of this thing. I'm just attached to the one that is. I am the branch. I thought that was a funny response. I'm just in sales. I'm not in administration. But Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Victory is abiding in Christ. You cannot overcome anything if you don't abide in Christ. You will always be overcome by the things of the world, because we have a damaged mentality. We are not what we were created to be without Jesus. Now, when you look at Genesis, you realize that Adam and Eve had a whole lot more going for them than we do. Adam used 100% of his brain. We used 10%. I wonder what would happen if we could just get 15% operating. You know? We use 10% of the capacity of our brain. You know, it's kind of like me and these new technology. They tell me that they can do amazing things. I use very little of it. You know, I use it for an alarm clock in the morning. I use it to send some messages, things like that. I just got a new phone. The little droid mini died. It died because I baptized it in a cup of coffee. I think it was the caffeine that finally got it, because it spazzed out. It traveled from country to country on time zones and stuff, just kept changing and, you know, just doing all kinds of stuff. And it was really neat to watch the coffee move slowly through the screen. It looked like a cloudy day for a while, you know, and then it would do all kinds of stuff. It really got confused and things, and finally we had to change it, because I couldn't hear what people are saying. When I talked to them on the phone, it was like, I'd say, "What? I don't understand you." And so that wasn't working. You know, things like that don't work too good. When you're constantly saying, what, you know, I don't hear very good anyway. But when you got coffee in your speaker, it just, you know, I didn't mean to do that. I just, a couple of weeks ago, I was on the way to the hospital after church to check on my dad, and the roads got slick that fast, all of a sudden just turned to ice, and wind hit me from the side, and I'm in my little red truck, and I'm tooling up through there, and all of a sudden it just turns to nothing but ice, and a wind hits me from the side and just blows the back end of my truck around. And so here I go down 65 highway, just back into my truck going like this. I did a triple sow cow and a quad triple toe loop. Even done a few parallettes, you know. I could have been in the Olympics. Finally, ended up driving down 65 highway backwards, and kind of come to a stop in those pretty little cables in the middle of the interstate. And about that time, my phone, which dies all the time, started saying, "I'm dying," you know, giving me that beeping noise that I'm dying. And so I plugged it in real fast, kind of frustrated, plugged it in real fast. I thought I'd drunk all the coffee in the coffee cup in the center console. And I plugged it in and dropped it in that coffee cup just like that and took care of stuff. And when I pulled it out, it was dripping, and the baptism did not help it. And so now, thanks to my deacons, I didn't even ask them, but they knew what had happened. And yesterday, a brand new iPhone 7 showed up. I don't know what that means. I think it means that there was six others in front of it. iPhone 7. And Damon was trying to show me all the mysteries and miracles of this iPhone 7. And I'm just saying, show me how to dial it. You know? And I got this person called Siri that I can talk to, and they talk back. And we told Siri yesterday she had an attitude, because the first time we talked to her, she said, "I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you live." I said, "She's got an attitude." Damon said, "Siri, do you have an attitude?" She said, "I don't know how to answer that question." Anyway, there's all kinds of stuff. You know, it's amazing, miraculous, and stuff that you can do with this little tiny thin piece of stuff. But I will probably never use all of that. You know why? I've only got 10%. That's the way it is with us. God has created us miraculously, given us so much in the beginning, but sin took all that away from us, and now we are barely functioning as human beings. And we have a sin nature that cannot conquer anything that has to do with spiritual aspects or things of this world. The powers of this world are greater than we are.
And so in order for us to overcome, we have to go to somebody that understands that iPhone 7 and knows how to operate it. Amen? When I have a problem with that thing, you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be talking to Damon Salisbury. Because he's the one to set it up. And I'm going to go to him and say, hey, I'm having a problem with this thing. It won't work. You know, it won't do this. I can't do this, can't do this. And he's going to know how to fix it. You know why? Because he has mastered the iPhone 7 or whatever it is he has. I don't know what it is. Anyway, technology stuff. That's the way we are with God. We can't do this stuff. We can't handle this stuff. But God gave us somebody named Jesus Christ that has paid the price for us to be inherited in, grafted in to the one that has the answers and has the power and can do everything, and the one that actually overcame everything. Everything Adam and Eve failed at, Jesus prevailed at. Amen. The sins that took Adam and Eve down, Jesus in the garden, or not the garden, but the wilderness, overcame and became triumphant over sin. And therefore, we have an advocate with the Father. We have somebody that is an intermediate. We have somebody that connects us to God. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are actually seated together in heavenly places, praise God, above the angels, above everything. We have been given a seat far above, and we are connected to the answer. Doesn't mean you have the answers. You are connected to the answers. Amen. I have people all the time call me up and say, hey, I need to pick your brain about something. I say, well, it won't take long. I said, I might not have the answers you're looking for, but I bet we can find them. You know? Ask Siri. She seems to know everything. But we are connected to the one that has overcome. I want you to look with me in John chapter 14, verse 30. One of the things I want to just really get us to think about today is positioning yourself for victory. Victory does not come in your life just because you want it to. You really need to position yourself for victory. Amen. You can't just complain about not having it. You can't complain about somebody else getting it and you didn't. But like the man by the pool of Bethesda, you know, once a year the angel come down and stirred water. I heard T.D. Jakes say this and it just made all kinds of sense to me. He said for 39 years, this man had been laid at the pool of Bethesda, and after 39 years, he was no closer to getting in the water than he was when he first started. He said 39 years, the man had no strategy to position himself for victory. In 39 years, you would think that he could have got himself moved closer and closer and closer to the pool so that when it finally started being stirred, he could have just fallen in it. You know? And that's the way we are. We want victory. We want to overcome, but we don't do what it takes to position ourselves for it to happen. We've got to position ourselves in Christ. And this isn't in tragedy. This is in the good times. This is when everything's going good. That's when you build faith. You don't build faith in tragedy. In tragedy, faith is tested. It is not built. Matter of fact, most of our faith crumbles in tragedy because we didn't build it while the sun was shining. When the storm comes, that's not a time to try to build faith. That's a time that your faith that you have is going to be tested. So let's build it when it's good. Let's build it when the sun's shining so that when the storm comes, we can prosper. We know what to do. We know how to handle it. Jesus, in John chapter 14, verse 30, Jesus said, I will not talk much with you. This is an Amplified Classic version. That I will not talk with you much more, for the prince and the definition they give that is evil genius ruler. Now, I don't like saying things like that about Satan because, you know, he's already got a blowed up idea of himself. But the definition of this prince is evil genius ruler. That's what you're up against without Jesus. You're up against an evil genius ruler. And he's been practicing on mankind for thousands of years, so he knows how to overcome you. Because we are still have the same weaknesses and the same stuff still works on us. That it always has worked on us. And so he really doesn't have to try because he's a master at it. But this evil genius ruler of the world is coming. Now, I like what Jesus said here in an Amplified Classic Version. This is how they describe this. And he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. Woo! I mean, Jesus was declaring something here. I like this. I'm going to read it one more time. If you don't like it, cover your ears because I'm going to read it one more time, all right? This is good. This is the position that Jesus stands in. And it's the position we can stand in. He says, the prince of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me. Everybody say, he has no claim on me. Everybody say, he has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. And he has no power over me. Wow, what a statement. What a declaration. There's nothing in me that belongs to him. I like that. Amen. The only way I can say that is the fact that I'm covered in Christ. Amen. I'm covered through him. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So the fact that my life is hidden with Christ in God means that in Christ I can declare that he has no claim on me. There's nothing in me that belongs to him. And he cannot overpower me because I am in the one that won. I'm in Christ, and he is the one that prevailed and overcame. So I take my position from being somebody that is overcome by sin to coming into Christ and standing in the one that has overcome. And so by grace, not by my works, not by my goodness, but by grace, I have received a victory that I have not even had to fight the battle for. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's victory. Even more than an overcomer is what the Bible says. Brother R.W. Shambach used to explain it like this. He said, let me tell you what more than an overcomer is. He said, more than an overcomer is when a prize fighter goes in the ring and wins the prize. He's a conqueror. He's an overcomer. But he said more than an overcomer is when he goes home and hands a check to his wife. She's more than an overcomer. That would be more than, well, that's the position we're in. The prize fighter went to battle for us, and he won. He overcame. And then he came and he said, hey, I'm going to give you the check. And we don't deserve it. There's nothing in us that deserves it. But he said, hey, I'm going to give you the benefits of what I've won, and I'm going to make it as if you were the one that did it. Wow. What an awesome thing. Amen. What an awesome thing. To have the King of Glory assigned to us his status. Matter of fact, in Revelations it says that we will sit with him in his throne. In other words, we will sit in the same level with him. Wow. It's amazing what God's done for us and what he's provided for us, and yet many of us aren't positioning ourselves to receive that. One of the stories in the Old Testament, man, I got plenty of time. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning in California. Everybody think California. Everybody say, God redeem California. There's a story in the Old Testament that kind of illustrates this. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's look at verse 5. I'm going to give you a few minutes to get there. Try not to just race ahead. Let you type it into your phone, your iPad. Check out a Facebook so you can turn there. Turn off Candy Crush. All that kind of stuff, all right? Come on. I have a lot of people tell me, say, I've got my Bible on my phone. I've been so tempted to put cameras back there in the back, shining down this way, so I could actually see if you're looking at your... But I have a hard time getting you to show up anyway, so, you know, I'm not going to do that, okay? If you'll just listen. Jehoshaphat was in trouble. The people of Israel, they were overwhelmed. Absolutely no way that they could win. Have you ever felt like that? Man, I've been there. Where it felt like there's absolutely no way we can come out of this. There's no way we can win on this thing. And in the fifth verse, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and say, and now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Now, Jehoshaphat, in this trouble, is placing himself and positioning himself right in the center of the promises of God. He's not questioning God about whether he's going to help. The questions that he's answering is declarations of, this is what you said. And so Jehoshaphat placed himself in the promises of God, positioned himself. Amen. We can't look at it as a fantasy. We've got to get it in our heart. We've got to position ourselves in the things of God, in the promises of God. Then he said, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah. I kind of like that guy. The son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Now we have Jehoshaphat positioning himself in the promises of God. And now we have God taking the position as the administrator of the promises. God said, that's right, that's what I said. And because of that, and because you position yourself, you're not even going to have to fight in this battle. Amen. Praise God. God stepped up and took the position as administrator. And he said, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Isn't that something? God even knew where they were going to go. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now God was telling them to calm down. You ever had somebody tell you, calm down? Guys, don't do that to your wife. It does not work. Just calm down is what God's saying. And position yourselves. How many times do we get out of position when things come against us instead of getting into position? When tragedy comes, we immediately get out of position with the promises and the Word of God, and then we start trying to find where God's at. God's back there where you was at. He said, stand still. How hard it is to just stand still when there's a threat. Amen. Me and Sister Betty, one time, we were down in Florida, and we decided to wade out in the water a ways. And you can go a long ways out. You know, sometimes it just goes like this in the sand. And we decided to wade out in the water for a ways. And we got out there where it was about this deep. And the waves would come in, and it would just pick us up off the sand and sit us back down. You know, just kind of pick us up and sit us down. And I thought it was real great. There wasn't anybody else around. We had the whole place to ourselves, and it was wonderful. And we were out there just floating in the water, you know, on a sunny day, and then just having a good time. And I look off, and I see this shadow coming at us. Because the water down there is really clear. You can see a lot. It was down in Pensacola, Florida, I believe, is where we was at. And I look over, and I see this shadow coming at us, and I thought, well, it must be a dolphin. We're going to get to see a dolphin. Well, dolphins come up to the surface and go back down. This thing never come up to the surface. And I just kept watching it. And all of a sudden, I realized what it was. It was a shark. And it was a big shark because it made a big shadow. And it was coming right for us. And Sister Betty knows that any time that I talk real low and I say, be still, she knows that means something's up. And so I tried to be real assuring, and I looked at Betty, and I said, honey, stand still. The minute I said that, she climbed me like a tree, screaming the whole time, because every time I say something like that, something's up. I told her to do that one time. We was camping, sitting out by the campfire, and I looked over, and I said, don't move. And she goes, immediately. I said, I mean it, don't move. Be still, because there was a skunk coming right between her legs with its tail sticking straight up. And I said, be still. And she's going, and it was brushing against her leg as it came through. And I just kept saying, don't move. So she knows anytime I say that, then there's a danger, there's a threat. And so when I said, I mean, don't move, she climbed up me, had hold of my head, and was trying to get on my shoulders. And I was trying to get her down. And I got a hold of her, and I grabbed her, and I said, I mean, don't move. And she stood there going, going into orbit, you know. And I said, don't kick your feet. Don't do anything. I don't want you to look like a fish swimming. You know, I thought the reflection from our lily white skin would just look like a fish out there swimming. I didn't know what else to do. I just knew we needed to stand still. It's hard to stand still when there's a threat coming at you. But sometimes the most important thing for you to do is to stop and stand still, especially when you're believing God for something. If you take off running hysterically, trying to find God, you just left Him. He was back there when you were standing still. But now that doubt and fear's taken over, you can't find Him. But He was right, He's right there. We stood there and watched. I kept telling Betty, stand still. No, the waves kept picking us up, you know, sitting us down. I kept saying, don't kick, don't kick, don't kick. Kept hit. That thing came right up to us. And it got about 2 feet from me, and I thought, man, it's either going to strike or it's going to, you know, I got Betty back behind me, and I thought, it's either going to strike or it's going to swim on by. And in my mind, I was trying to think, where are you supposed to pinch this thing's nose at? Because I've heard that if you grab it by the nose, you know, it kind of, it stuns them somehow. And so I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, I wonder if I can grab hold of it, you know, grab its nose. But this was a big shark. And right before it got to us, it turned and just slowly swam right in front of us. Man, that thing was like 9 feet long. Big old thing. It just swam right in front of us. The whole time I'm telling Betty, don't move, don't move. And it swam on through. And we watched it as it swam off. And about the time I said, okay, Betty was already, she was stirring up sand. I mean, she was heading for shore. Looked like a boat motor going up through there. And I was trying to keep up with her. And she was heading for shore. And about the time we got, as we was heading for shore, I saw another lady walking out in the water over there. And I hollered and I said, I don't think you want to do that. There's a shark out there. Same thing. Oh, you know, turned around and she shot for shore. Many times when trouble comes at us, instead of positioning ourselves in the middle of the promises of God and standing still, we start running, trying to find answers. Tragedy has a way of moving us out of our position. You've got to learn to stay in position regardless of what is coming at you. Stay in position. Jehoshaphat and the children of God stayed in position. And when they got to the battle, Jehoshaphat put singers out there and they went forth singing. But when they got to the battle was already won. Because it was God's battle, and they positioned themselves into promises. So instead of fighting, they got to sing and worship God on the way not to fight, but on the way to receive the spoils. If we can just learn to position ourselves, we will end up receiving the blessing at the end of it instead of the battle. What an awesome thing. I found out a long time ago that the greatest battle I can launch against the enemy is to worship, to just praise the Lord. Regardless of what's happening, to just focus on God and worship. Praise God. Because if I don't, I can easily get moved out of my position. And if I get moved out of my position with God, I have no power or ability to deal with this or to stand. So I have to stay in my place. Amen. You've got a place in God. You got to stay there. You got to stay there. All kinds of things can come against you. All kinds of tragedies come against you. But don't move out of your place. Amen. There's a lot of things in this world we don't understand. A lot of things we don't understand. But we got to stay in our position. If I let all the happenings, all the chaos of the enemy that's going on around me, if I let that move me out of my position, then I become part of the chaos. It could be that I'm in that storm because the people in the storm needed somebody that believed. So if I don't keep my position, I'm going to become part of the chaos and I'm not going to be good. I'm going to become part of the storm instead of part of the shelter from the storm. Amen. God's called us to be people of shelter. And many times we can shelter those that are hurting. Amen. To sum this up, I believe I can sum it up like this. In Christ, you arrive at the battle having already prevailed. In Christ, you arrive at the battle having already prevailed. Sometimes that's hard to see. When Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel saw the three nations rise against them, they couldn't see the victory at the end. All they could see was the fact that they were overwhelmed. They were overcome already. In themselves, they were already defeated. But when they took their position in God, they arrived at the battle having already prevailed. They won. They won when they stood in the court of God in His promise and said, God, this is what You said, and we're going to stand right here. That's when they won. Praise God. To overcome something means to render it inferior. When you stand in Christ, the things that come against you are already inferior before they raise up against you. Because you're standing in one that overcome. Hallelujah. Praise God. If we can grab hold of that, if we can just really grab hold of that. Amen. Circumstances. I sent a message to somebody the other day. God just put it in my spirit. Just saw their face, and God gave me a message. I sent it to them, and I said, and the only thing I said was, thoughts, emotions, and circumstances are temporary. But your place with God is eternal. If we can just get a hold of that, amen. It wasn't easy preaching this message this morning because I've been dealing with tragedy all morning. Shock and not being able to understand. But yet, I come and preach this message because I know it's true. Tragedy can't move us out of our position because tragedy is going to be a part of our life. Things around us are not permanent. They are temporary. Our life is temporary. But in God, the things of God are permanent. They are eternal. And we take our stand in the eternal God. And when we take our stand in eternal God, we're good. No matter what happens, we're good. Amen. If I leave this world today, I'm good. Amen. Because I have a promise. I have a promise. And I position myself on the promises. When we love God and know that He loves us, we don't run around trying to find God because we know He's right here. He's with us. Amen. He's with us. He's our protector. Got so many thoughts running through my mind of testimonies of victory and overcoming right now, but I don't have time to go into all that. But God is our God. He's a present help in time of trouble. Many of you are going through trouble. It's one thing to go through things ourselves. It's another thing to see someone we love going through it, to see our children suffer. That's hard. It's harder than experiencing ourselves. But we've got to believe, stand with me, we've got to believe that God is right here with us. Always, always, always. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have made us more than conquerors. We are overcomers in this life. Father, because of what you did, because of Jesus, we are more than conquerors. And we are overcomers because we have received a victory that we did not win. We have received the victory that Jesus won for us. And Lord, we thank you for that. And God, I pray for this godless, confused world, for an awakening. God, an awakening to your glory, awakening to who you are, awakening to the fact that you're our help in time of need. Father, I thank you for that. God, I give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I can't help but think about the coach that saved so many kids' lives down in Florida because he stood between the bullets and them. And that's what Jesus did for us. Evil came in. Evil came in to slaughter. But that coach turned and covered those children with his body and took several bullets. But he was protecting them. Jesus stepped in front of the bullets for me and you. And he's standing in that position to protect us. Father, we thank you today. Lord, I pray for every person, God, today that's going through hardships and tragedies, Lord God. They're struggling. Lord, this life, the things of this world and the situations and the circumstances of this life, of this in this crazy, mixed up, temporary world. Lord, I call your power and your grace into every situation. Father, I thank you for answering. I thank you, God, that you're here, that you're with us. And Lord, we have arrived. We have arrived at the battle, having already prevailed. And Father, I just pray that that concept would get into our hearts, Lord God, in every situation we're struggling with. God, that concept would get into our spirits and into our hearts. And Father, we praise you for that. God, I thank you and praise you for it. Lord, we bless your name. Praise you and bless your name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's just spend some time today and just position yourself on the promises of God this morning. Let's worship the Lord. Just position yourself in God, because that's where our hope is. That's where our help is.